You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And so I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you didn't know, or you're just joining us, we typically work our way through the Bible, but this summer, because we just had this little couple of months here, we've been doing a series, and you know the title is called Lifelines, Lifelines. And so when we sat down and I told the guys, I said, this is what we're gonna do. The basic idea was this, just so you kind of know the idea, and you probably have heard this, I know Stan mentioned it, but the idea was that we were preaching on passages from God's word that maybe in our past have been like a lifeline for our lives. They have been something from God's word that has really kind of in some way saved us, you might say. And so today, I'm gonna add to the list, but I'm gonna be honest with you, is it mine? Is not really a lifeline from the past. It's actually a lifeline from where I'm living my life right now. In fact, it's becoming more and more a part of just how I'm looking at my life and thinking about my life. And so it's not just something, I mean, it has spoken to me, the passage has spoken to me in the past, but I'm just gonna tell you, it's wearing me out right now. I mean, it's just wearing me out as a person, as a pastor, as just a disciple. And so it's very much where I'm living, because what I'm going to talk to you about today is something that probably all of us think about from time to time, depending on your season of life. It probably depends on how much you think about it. But I'm going to talk about this idea of how do you make the most of your time? How do you make the most of your time? Now, how many of you know that even when I say that, we could actually change the title and we could say not how do you make the most of your time, but we really mean how do you make the most of your life, aren't we? Because how many of you know this? Is it your time is your life, isn't it? In fact, I heard somebody say it years ago. They said, your time is your life, so if you're wasting time, you're wasting your life, right? Oh my goodness, can you think about that? Let that sink in, right? So it doesn't really matter what stage of life you're in. Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to waste what God's given you, do you? I mean, you don't want to waste it. If God's given it to you, you don't want to waste it, because here's the deal, because you don't know how long you're going to have it, do you? And so you want to make the most of everything that you got. And so we're going to talk about this whole idea of how do you make the most of the time that you've been given? Now, the reason that this is such a part of where I am right now is because every summer I always take a week and I go away and I really do just sort of, I reflect on my life, I evaluate my life, I look at where I'm going as a person, as a leader, as a pastor, I just say, where am I gonna go? And I just wanna evaluate my life so that I use it wisely for God. And so this is something that I do every single year. And I have to tell you that it is becoming really just more and more of a reality for me that I've got a lot more years in the rear view mirror than I got in the front glass right here. I mean, it is, right? Who are we kidding here, right? I mean, I got a lot more behind me than I got in front of me, and I want to seize it for all it's worth. Now, I will say I felt a little bit better yesterday. I was at Lowe's checking out. Lady said, are you military? I said, no, but I'm a pastor in the army of God. She said, that don't count. I said, but I'm a senior. She said, you are not. I said, yes, I am too. I'm 65. She said, you don't look it. I said, forget Home Depot. I am Lowe's for life, baby. Let me tell you, man. Anybody to tell me I don't look it? I'm on it, baby. I'm on it. So the deal is this, is that as best I can tell, they're making more money, but they're not making any more time. They're just not. You only have so much of it. And so this is a lifeline right now. And I want to share it with you. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Let's just read it together. It says this. It says, Paul says, look carefully how you walk, which also means how you live. And then check this out. Not as unwise, but as, say it with me, what? But as wise. Making the best use of the time. Because the days are what? How many of you know they're getting even more evil, aren't they? Oh my goodness, man. I really don't know if there is a more important topic for us to talk about. If there's maybe, this might be one of the most, one of the most relevant, if you will, one of the most relevant passages that I think all of God's word relates to our lives, but I think certainly it doesn't matter if you're 25 or 65. He said, I think this speaks to every single one of us. So when I read it, what I really hear God saying, I literally hear God saying, all right, Ken, take a look at your life. And don't take it lightly, take it carefully. Look at it carefully. And don't be foolish with it, but be wise with it and make the very most of it. Because the days are evil, and not only that, but you don't even have a clue how much time you have left. And so I'm going to share with you some things here today based on God's word, not just my opinion, and certainly not some self-help book, but based on the word of God. I'm just going to share with you how I believe that I need to go about making the most of my time, and if it works for you, I think it might help you as well. So if you have your outline, go ahead and let's grab it and take a few notes here. So the first thing I would tell you is this, is that if you're asking a question, if you care at all about whether or not your life is counting, whether it matters or not, the first thing I would tell you is this, is that I would just tell you to make every day that you have, make it count for the things that matter. Every day, make every day count for the things that matter. How many of you know that you can live your life sometimes for things that are really important and sometimes for things that are not important, right? And so you get to choose how you're going to live your day and whether or not it's going to you're going to live for things that really matter, whether you're going to live for things that don't matter at all. In fact, every single day, think about this, is that every single day that God gives you life, every day that your heart is beating, that your blood is flowing, that you're awake and alive, every single day that he gives you is 24 hours, it's 1,440 minutes, it's 86,400 seconds, and every single one of us get the exact same amount of time. Nobody's getting more than anybody else, and all of us only have two things that we can do with it. And either you can use it wisely or you will use it foolishly would be the other word. But it's unwisely. Either wisely or foolishly. But here's what we all know. You will not get it back. You will not get it back. Now that's the powerful part. It's important that you use it the right way, but use it the right way because you're not getting any of it back. I mean, once it's gone, it's gone. You can't get it back. And so make sure that you're using it on the things that matter and not on the things that don't. So some of you are probably thinking, what do you mean things that matter? Okay, since you asked, let me give you a couple of questions, a couple of examples. So let's just say, you could be on social media or you could spend time in God's word. Which would be the more wise thing to do? They're telling me at worship team meeting that some people, they call it doom scrolling. You ever heard that? Doom scrolling. That just sounds bad, doesn't it? I mean, it just sounds like you're dying, right? But I guess it just means you're just wasting all this time. Now, I'm not even telling you that social media, that you shouldn't get on. I'm just saying this, is that if you're saying that you're too busy to spend time with God, but it's because you're spending all your time on social media, here's what I would say, is that that's not true. You're just not using your time wisely. You're using your time foolishly. And so here's the deal, is that whatever you do, don't be using your time foolishly and then claim that you're too busy to do things that are more important, because the reality is that everybody on the planet is busy. We're just not all busy about the right things. Nobody was busier than Jesus, but he was busy about, they were taking numbers to see. I mean, they were in line to see him. And seriously, they were waiting to see him. The disciples came to him and said, everybody's looking for you. You got a whole bunch of appointments today. And he said, but my most important appointment is God, my Father. You see, here's another example. So a lot of us, we spend a lot of time in our yards, want it to look immaculate. We spend a lot of time decorating and cleaning our homes. We spend a lot of time taking care of our bodies. Some of us we do a lot of hunting, we do a lot of fishing. Some of us are scratch golfers. I mean, it's just crazy the things that we do. And so what happens is that those things are not necessarily bad. In fact, I play golf, I take care of my yard, I work out, I do all those things. But here's what I am going to do. I'm not going to let those things keep me from having relationships in my life by being a part of a small group. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. The people from the golf course are not going to show up at your hospital room. And let me just tell you something. The people from the gym, oh, maybe a friend or two will, but most of them are not going to show up at the funeral home when your spouse passes away or your child. And nobody from Home Depot is going to, they might sell you a lot of lawn stuff, but they're not going to come watch your child while the other one's sick. So you got to just say, what is wise is none of these things that I'm saying are bad. They're just bad if you can't keep it in balance with the things that matter. Got to keep it in balance. And then sometimes we just overwork ourselves, don't we? And the next thing you know, you missed a ball game. You missed a recital. You missed a play. You missed this. You missed that. And then the next thing you know is that you're looking there, you're sitting. No, you know, you've heard it before, right? Nobody's on their deathbed saying, I wish I spent more time at the office. Nobody's saying that. They're saying, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. You see, I think the psalmist says it so well. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. It's actually Moses said this. He says, so teach us. I love this. So teach us to what? Number, you know what? Count them. You got 24 hours. You got 1,440 minutes. You got 86,004. Teach us to number our days. And then I love this, that we get a heart of what? Not as what? Unwise, but as? Old Testament and New Testament, joining up, I guess. So I want to give you, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? You agree with that? I mean, sometimes you can sit here, you can hear me, you can say, yeah, Pastor Ken, that's all good. But when you see it, sometimes you can't unsee it, right? So I'm going to show you something that I've shared it with you a long time ago, but I was reminded of it just a couple weeks ago. I've been doing I call it a discovery group. A guy in our church, he owns a business, and he's let me come in, and I've been able to meet with some of his staff on Monday mornings for about a month, and I've been able to just kind of talk to them about their money, about their relationships, about their time. And so I shared something with them the last time I was there, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to share this with the whole church because we're talking about our time. And so what it is I'm going to give you a picture of what it looks like when you take when you take 70, when you take 70 years of your life and you calculate it into a 70 years into a 24-hour clock. Does that make sense? So a pastor in London did this. His name was Weatherhead. And he did this and he calculated it. And here's what it will do. It is very sobering when you realize in a period of 24 hours where you're actually at. So let me just give it to you. Let's start off. So if you are... If you're 15 years old, here's what you're at. You probably hadn't even woke up yet, have you? I mean, if you're 15, you are snoozing away, aren't you, man? And so then, if you're 20 years old, it's 11:34. You may not even be up either, but anyway. So then at 25, it's 12:42. And then at 30, it's 1:51. And then if you're 35... It's 3 o'clock. I mean, Sports Center's on right now. And so then if it's 40, it's four. I mean, this is like the early news is on now, right? And then if you're 45, it's 5:16. And then the day's almost over. And then if you're 50, if time changes, you're in trouble, aren't you, right? And so then if you're 55, oh, you're 7:34. Some of you are saying, please stop, Ken. And then if you're 60, oh my gosh, Family Feud is over. And if you're 65, yeah. Yeah, man, I'm out like a light right now. And then if you're 70, picture's worth 1,000 words, isn't it? What are you doing with your life? Make it count for the things that count. So it's like an hourglass, isn't it? Look at this. So here's the deal. Once it goes from one side to the other, guess what? You're never getting it back. Don't waste it. Make every day count for the things that count. The second thing I would recommend is this. Live like there is no tomorrow. Live like there is no tomorrow. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I think it says it's for itself, doesn't it? If you want to make the best use of your time, if you want to make the most of your life, then here's what you do, is you just got to live every day like it's your last. You say, well, why would I do that? Because it might very well be. I mean, let's just be honest. None of us in this room have a guarantee we're going to make it through the end of the day. You can think you do, but listen, one of the original members of our church just passed away yesterday in her 70s. I mean, don't act like you're going to live forever, because the reality is you're not. In fact, James says it like this. I should tell you this. Kathy Shegda passed away, just so you know. If you know Kathy Shegda, if you've been here a long time, passed away yesterday. She was one of the very first, her and her husband Steve, one of the very first small group leaders, started 3 small groups. They were one of the very first small group leaders in our church. Amazing, right? So here's what I'm telling you. Live like there's no tomorrow. So James says it like this in Acts. I'm sorry, James chapter 4, verse 14 says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a what? You know what I missed is? Did you see that? How fast was that? If you're on the front row, I'm sorry about that. You know what? A mist isn't anything, is it? And you know what? Here it is. You are a mist that appears for a little while, and then what? It's gone. That's your life, man. That's my life. I mean, we can't be piddling around. We can't be wasting it, because you don't have it that long. Even if you get all of it, even if you get all that God promises you, all that God says you can get, it still just isn't that long. You say, well, then how on earth can I live like there's no tomorrow? I will tell you how. Is that you live like there's no tomorrow when you live your life by purpose. That's how you live like there's no tomorrow. So what do you mean live your life by purpose? Well, you understand this. Is that everybody in the room here, no exceptions made, everybody in the room lives your life by one of two things. We all either live our lives by purpose or priority. I would use the same word. You can live your life by priority, or you can live your life by pressure. You say, what's the difference? When you live your life by priority, you tell your time where you want it to go. And when you live by your life by pressure, you let somebody else tell your time where you want it to go. Now, which would be more wise and which would be foolish? You telling your life where you want it to go. So what happens is that we live our lives so much of the time just under the pressure of what everybody else expects us to do, rather than doing what God wants us to do. So let me just give you a couple of scenarios so that you kind of think through this. So let's just say that maybe you only have 1 week left to live. I mean, reality is, I mean, we're not just making this up. You don't know how long you have. You might only have a week. You have no idea. You have no idea what's coming in 7 days from now. You have no idea. So how are you going to live your life today like it's your last day? So here's what I would tell you. If you said to me, well, you know what? Maybe you're only going to have a week left to live. So some people would say, if I only have a week left, all I'm going to do is hang out with my family. I'm going to make the most of my family. I'm just going to be. But what if it turned out that I had a lot longer and all I'd done is spend time with my family and I didn't reach out to anybody that's far from God? I don't know that that's the wisest use of my time, because I wouldn't even mind it if it was my last day if my family saw me leading somebody to Christ. I don't know if that'd be a bad way to live my life anyway. But then what if you said, well, you know, If this has only got 1 week left, I'm not going to worry about my family because I'll see them in heaven. I'm just going to spend all my time with lost people. I'm not even going to worry about reading my Bible or going to church. Oh, why would you do that? Because you might be around a lot longer than a week, but you might not be. So you say, well, how do I make that call? It's very simple. The wisest thing to do is to manage every day according to the right priorities given by God. And if it happens to be your last day, you died the right way. It is. You see, somebody asked D.L. Moody, an evangelist years ago, they said, if today were your last day, what would he do differently? He said, absolutely nothing. How can you say that? Because you're living your life by purpose. Because you're living your life by purpose. You know, if you're living your life by purpose or priority, you'll be okay. You'll be okay if any day happens to be your last day. You'll be okay. Because you're doing the right thing every day. And you can't determine whether or not it's going to be your last day or not, but you're just doing the right thing with the day you've been given. You know, I heard about this guy. This is a totally different subject, but I heard about this guy. He was not feeling well. He had been pretty sick. He went to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, he said, I got bad news and worse news. And he said, well, give me the bad news. And he said, well, the bad news is you only have 24 hours to live. And he said, well, what could be worse than that? He said, well, forgot to tell you yesterday. So anyway, I thought we needed to lighten it up here a little bit. I mean, it's like y'all are all depressed already. So I'm like, maybe we can lighten it up. You know, I was thinking about this and I was sharing with my wife what we were talking about this week. And she reminded me of something that I had forgotten about. So when we first got here, we lived up in a subdivision up here off 34, and there was this family that lived there. They moved in after we were like the first people to move in there, and there was this family that moved in, and there was this young family, had young kids, I remember he was in a motorcycle wreck and died, and left this widow with young kids, and you know, just so hard. So sad. And I remember this. I remember when we actually went to the viewing kind of thing at the funeral home. And I remember, well, actually Val told me, reminded me, I remember him dying, and I remember going to the funeral. And she said, she said to this woman, to this lady, she said, I'm so sorry. She said, I'm so sorry. She said, I just want you to know, the lady says to her, she said, I just want you to know, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. She said, it's not easy. And I'm hurting and I'm grieving and I'm crushed, but I have no regrets because we made the most of every opportunity we had. We loved each other. We made time for our kids. We took care of our kids. We made the things that matter. We lived for the things that matter, not for the things that didn't. And she said, I have a lot of pain, but I have no regrets. I was like, man, that's the way you want to live your life, on purpose and not by pressure. And then finally, here's what you would do. If you're going to make the most of your time, is you're going to do the things that live on after you die. Now, this is powerful. I want you to get this. Don't miss this. Listen to me. There are very, very few people that live their life this way, and you need to be one of them. There are very, very few people that live their life so that after they're dead and gone, their influence for Christ lives on. And the best way you can live your life is to live it in such a way that long after you're dead and gone and nobody even knows your name, you are still living out your influence for Christ. You realize it only takes about 2 generations for them not to know who you are anyway, right? They'll still be spending your money, but you know, but they don't know who you are. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, you think about it. You say, well, I don't know about that. You know your grandparents and you know your great-grandparents, but I doubt seriously you know your great-great-great-grandparents. I mean, it doesn't take very long for what? That's it, man. You're missed. You're out of here. But what would it be like if you lived your life in such a way, I want to live my life No matter how much time I have, I want to make sure that what I do with what I have left is going to have an impact, that it will keep on bearing fruit long after I am dead and gone. You know what? I want to plant trees that I'll never climb on. I want to make a difference that's going to live on forever. Jesus said it like this, John chapter 15, verse 16. Check it out. He said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, but not just any kind of fruit, fruit that will what? Last." And so whatever you do, what you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Ah. Oh. I read a story recently, and it's about a guy who had planted a tree, and this tree was just bearing fruit like crazy, and it was just giving him all kinds of good fruit for his family, and they were eating off of it all the time, and he had so much food that he had left over, and so he put it in a barn, and then he had so much more that he built another barn, and he kept putting it in barn, and he kept storing up all this fruit, and he kept keeping it for himself. And then after about 10, 15 years, he noticed that the tree wasn't bearing much fruit. And before long, he noticed that the tree was turning yellow. And before long, he noticed that the tree was dead and it wasn't producing any fruit at all. And so he thought, well, I'll go to the barn, I'll get some of the fruit. And you know what happened? He got to the barn and it was what? It was rotten. So he was in such despair. He went to lived in a little village, and he went to the wise man of the village, and he said, "What have I done?" And this wise man said, "Let me ask you this." He said, "What is the purpose of fruit?" And he said, "The purpose of fruit is that it tastes good and you eat it." He said, "No, that's your mistake. The purpose of fruit is to make more trees. Every piece of fruit has seeds, and those seeds make more trees. And if you had just used that fruit wisely, then you could have planted enough trees, just 10% of it. You could have planted enough trees to feed the whole village. And if you had planted 50% of it, you could have planted enough trees to feed the whole nation." So how are you using your life? Are you using your life in a way that will outlast it? I know this, is that when it comes to your money, I bet you want the best dividend you can get, don't you? I mean, let's just be honest. All your millions in the bank are not on compound interest, are they? No, simple interest. You want... Finance is not my strong suit. You want compound interest. You do not want simple interest. Because you want it to what? Multiply. You want it to multiply. You see, when it comes to your money, you know what you want with your money? You want the highest yield possible with your money. You want the greatest dividend your life can pay. You know what the greatest dividend of your life is? Not just to bear fruit now, but to bear fruit that keeps bearing fruit long after you're dead and gone. You know, I guess probably one of my favorite authors is a guy named Mark Batterson. In a book he wrote called Do It for a Day, he said, talked about a survey that was done with people that were 90 years of age or older. And they said, if you had it to do over again, what would you do differently? And they said three things. We would risk more, we would reflect more, and we would do things that would live on after we died. My question to you today is this. What are you doing that's going to live on after you die? You know, a man was discipling this young guy, young student. And he gave him two gifts. He gave him a clock and he gave him a Bible. And the young man said, "I don't understand. What is this for?" And he said, "I gave you the clock so you know what time it is. And I gave you the Bible so you know what to do with it." You see, that's what God's word just gave us today, is to be careful about how we live, to be wise and not unwise. And why? because the days are evil. So I want to leave you with something that as I was working on my message, I found an old article that I've had it for so long. I shared it maybe, even years ago, but you may know this lady. Her name is Irma Bombeck. You ever heard of her? So she's not with us anymore, but listen to what she wrote. I mean, even though this is old, it's still gold. It's still gold. Someone asked me the other day, if I had my life to live over, would I change anything? My answer was no. But then I thought about it and I changed my mind. If I had my life to live over, I would have waxed eloquent less and listened more. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy and complaining about the shadows over my feet, I would have cherished every minute of it and realized that the wonderment growing inside of me was my only chance in life to assist God in a miracle. I would have never insisted the car windows being rolled up on a summer day because I just had my hair fixed. I would have invited friends over to dinner even if the carpet was stained and the sofa got faded. I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room and worried less about the dirt when my husband lit the fireplace. I would have taken more time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would have burnt the pink candle sculptured like a rose before it melt when I stored it in the garage. I would have sat cross-legged on the lawn with my children and never worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television and more while watching life. I would have shared more of the responsibility carried by my husband, which I often took for granted. I would never have bought anything just because it was practical. When my child kissed me impetuously, I would have never said, later, later, now go get washed up for dinner. There would have been more I love yous, more I'm sorrys, more I'm listenings. But mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute of it. I would look at it and I would really see it and I would try it on. I'd live it, exhaust it, and never give that minute back until there was nothing left of it. How do you make the most of your time? Look carefully then at how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for life. Thank you that you have entrusted us. That you have entrusted us with this incredible gift. Lord, help us to not waste it. Help us to not squander it. Help us to not disobey you and how we use it. God, help us to make the most of it. Help us to honor you with it. Help us to seize it and use it for your honor and your glory. God, I pray that if there's anybody here in the room today that does not know you, that today would be the day they say yes to you. Lord, that they would realize that there is a promise in your word that we would have life and life more abundantly. And Lord, I pray that everybody in this room today would leave here knowing eternal life, and they would leave here knowing abundant life. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. Pray that you have your will and your way in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Ken Adams. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Ken's teaching ministry by visiting crossroadsonline.org.